All right, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6. Just a bit of recapping from last week. First of all, it says, we are simply God's servants. Each one of us does the work which the Lord gave him to do. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made the plant grow. And so we're pretty ordinary people, but we can do extraordinary things with the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so if you're not serving anywhere and you're not sure where to serve, we're going to help you with that by the end of the meeting this morning. We're all going to fill this in, even if you filled it in before the form. And that's the way we're going to conclude our service. Thank you for those people that helped. If you're here this morning, from last week, we had an extra 19 people first time serving that said they'd help for first time. And four more people said that they would love to help in another area as well. They're already serving. So serving God is for everyone. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be exceptionally talented to do many of the jobs around church. You are good enough. Second, you're shaped to serve God. There are certain things that you are wired for, and it is in those things that we honor God with our body. So part of our serving is actually honoring God with our body. So I might not see that so easily, but part of our service is actually showing God that we're honoring him in that way. And so a non-serving Christian is a contradiction of terms. Romans 1, 6 to 7 says this, "You are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. He has called you to be his very own people." And so anytime you choose God, given abilities to help others, you are fulfilling your calling. Romans 7, 4, "Now you belong to him in order that we might be useful in the service of God." Who'd like to be more useful in the service of God? And so how much of the time you are being useful in the service of God? You could ask yourself that question. How much of my week is being useful in the service of God? We are commanded by Jesus to serve God, who says, "Your attitude must be like my own, for I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life." So service is not optional. It is the heart of the Christian life. I agreed quite a long time ago, I think it was even before I was married or just married. So around 25, 27 years ago, that I would pretty much do whatever my pastor asked me to do. I was working self-employed at the time. I actually had my own, because I was going into ministry, I actually had a lawn mowing business. And on one particular occasion, Pastor Finkeldy, who I know many of you know, who was here in February, had asked me to be involved in a 7 consecutive night seminar. It was summertime, and it was extremely warm, and so I was mowing lawns, in fact, from 7 a.m. pretty much to 7 p.m. or when it was dark. And Pastor John said, "Could you please be a part of the leadership and the prayer team?" It was a combined event with the church we would belong to, C3 Hepburn Heights, and Churchlands Christian Fellowship up in Balcatta, and it was 7 nights in a row, a combined gathering. Was back in the Holy Spirit power days, the Toronto Blessing, for those of you who may remember back then. And so we were involved in that. I wasn't getting home until midnight every night, and I was getting up really early to go and mow lawns. And you know, what was amazing about that time is I agreed to just set aside those 4 or 5 hours after work and getting home quite late, was the Holy Spirit gave me the power beyond what I knew was my physical power, because I had got tired. But the Holy Spirit re-energized me. When you serve God, there is an extra capacity, there is a supernatural ability to do your own work. There is something quite unique about serving God, that he actually gives you the power to do other things as well. But sometimes we've just got to go, you know what? I can do this. Something extremely vital happened, which is just connected. I've just connected all the dots, if you like, recently, and that is that on the very last night of that conference, I actually had a picture in my mind of kind of like cycling through a city that had been quite dark and quite depressed and a bit down, a bit, you know, sort of old looking. And I couldn't quite understand what it was all about. And now I understand it, because years later I see that. And what was happening was, before I say what it was, but what was happening was as I was cycling through it, there was patches of light coming into the city. And it was getting brighter and brighter. And I know now what that means is because God was asking, putting a picture in my head, which I now understand, was that Fremantle was going to be changed, and that we were part of that, and this church is now a part of seeing it going from darkness to light. And so I think we've, you know, from 17, 18 years ago, Fremantle is a very different place. We've had our part to play in that as a church. It's certainly not as dark. See, God honors his word and gives us pictures that are quite powerful, gives us visions for our life. Quite an incredible thing. And so, I'd rather trust God and have an adventurous life than just decide I'm not going to do anything. So I've found that we've agreed to do things, Andrew and I, because we're one, we're a couple, that in our weakness, God does incredibly large things in our lives. So use what God gave you. I've got the PowerPoint up here. Use what God gave you. Point three it is. I'm not sure what slide it is, but use what God gave you. Here it is, Romans 12:5. Since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm excellently formed. Marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body. That's what you are. You're a marvelous in Christ's body. Amen, Susan? A marvelous creation you are. Let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. God deserves your best. He does not want you to be a square peg in a round hole. That's going to bring limited results. But he wants you to function where you fit best. And the best use of your life is to serve God out of what your fit is. And the form at the end will show you, because there's a number of areas where you can tick where you think you best fit. And as I've been saying this week and last week, if you're not sure where your fit is, just get involved. Just start serving and you'll work it out as you go along. And most of us have either... For example, have either been better at maths or English. Give me a wave, all the maths people. Who's good at maths? Who's better at maths? Ooh, not that many in this church. How many's better at English? Give me a wave. Who's better at English? What about the rest of you? Usually it's one or the other. Let's do it again. One quick time, maths. You better at maths or English? Maths, yeah, about half. And then English? Some of you could... Okay, that's better. About 50-50. There we go. All right. See, the best thing you can do, if you're not already serving in a role, like I said, is just start serving. And the best advice I can give you today is don't try to figure out all your gifts or your giftings, because you'll find that when you start serving, you start to realize where you fit. So it's actually quite simple. You discover your gifts by getting involved. And so you'll never know. When you're in a team... I know this has happened in kids' church. When you're in a team and the team's growing, Andrea has found that there's a creative person and then there's someone else that is helping with the music. I believe it's Lana is now involved helping with the production, because it's not Andrea's area. And so once you start getting involved, all these other areas, people's giftings start to come out and you're able to use them for the glory of God. Whatever gifts you have been given can be enlarged and developed through practice. Don't settle for a half-developed gift. Stretch yourself and learn all you can. Look at this, 2 Timothy 2:15. Concentrate on doing your best for God, work you won't be ashamed of. In heaven, we're going to serve God forever. So I guess we may as well get used to serving God down here on earth. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to be serving him. So the more we enjoy church, the more we're going to enjoy heaven. And so we keep training for the big day. Big day when we go to be with Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:25. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's good eternally. So fourthly, think like a servant. Love this scripture. My servant Caleb thinks differently and follows me completely. Service starts in your mind. Caleb listened and obeyed, and the rest of the Israelites did not see their promised land. Now this is, if we took typology here, which we could do, Caleb and Joshua entered into their promised land because they were great servants of God's house. I would hate any one of us here this morning, or any Christian person who says they're a Christian, to actually get to heaven and go, well, do I know you? You've got to actually show God that you serve him, surely. Yeah? We've got to be involved in building God's house so that he can say, well done, good and faithful what? Servant. Philippians 2:4. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. And this is what it means to lose your life. Forgetting yourself in service to others. And when we stop focusing on our own needs, we become aware of the needs around us. You can't be a servant if you are full of yourself. It's only when we forget ourselves that we do the things that deserve to be remembered. And real servants don't try to use God for their purposes. They let God use them for his purposes. So there might be changes. There might be things, but it doesn't matter. You know, you might need to shift an area, or you might need to, but it's all because God's developing you. There is a development process. You don't need to get stuck somewhere. You can move on. You can develop others so that you can do greater things, so that the kingdom of God is built even stronger, so that when people walk into this place, can you imagine it, when every person is serving and passionate about what they do in the house of God? Wow, people are going to go, what is it about these people? And Gus mentioned this. Thank you, Gus, for helping me this morning. Did he do a great job? Servants think like stewards, not owners. Servants think like stewards, not owners. Servants remember that God owns it all. Joseph was a servant who knew how to be a steward. As a prisoner in Egypt, Potiphar entrusted him with his own home. The jailer entrusted Joseph with his whole jail. And eventually, Pharaoh entrusted the entire nation to him. Servanthood and stewardship go together. And to become a real servant, you're going to have to settle the issue of money in your life. Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money." And so living for ministry and living for money are mutually exclusive goals. Which one will you choose? See, God insists on exclusive allegiance, not part-time faithfulness. And money has the greatest potential to replace God in our lives. Would that be correct? Money has the greatest potential. We live in a great world. Andrew was giving me some stats the other day. We're the most developed people in the whole world. Why is that? Because we have more than enough. And when Jesus is your master, money serves you. When Jesus is your master. Money serves you. But if money is your master, you become its slave. Wealth is not a sin, but failing to use it for God's glory is. And God will use money to test your faithfulness as a servant. And that is why Jesus taught more about money than heaven or hell. I'm so excited. I've got seven people coming with myself to Liberia. And we've never had eight people go on a team to Liberia, Susan and James. All those people have not only giving and helping, but they're saying, you know what? I want to go and see. I'm going to spend some of my holiday time actually helping others that need our help. How cool is that? See, that's a servant heart. That's saying, well, you know what? I can do this. I can help. I can help you. And so all those people, thank you. And all those great servers in the house, give yourselves a pat on the back. You know, you're awesome, each and every one of you. But if you're not serving, let's get involved today. Or if you're serving in a little way, but you think, you know what? I could serve a bit more. Why don't you do that today as well? And so, I was getting to that point. We use our wealth to fund God's church and its mission in the world. So if we say we're stewards and we're servants together, they go hand in hand. We use our resources, we use ourselves, and we use our funds to fund God's church and its mission in the world. Our goal is to make God look good, not ourselves. It's easy to find who is the servants in the house. I'd like to make God look good, wouldn't you? Let's make God look good. Oh, we might mess up every now and then and want some glory for ourselves. We're only human, but hey, let's make God look good most of the time. And the more servant-hearted we become, the more his church will look fantastic. It becomes attractive to those outside. It becomes attractive to pretty much everyone. Lastly, God's power in your weakness. God's power in your weakness. I am with you, 2 Corinthians 12:9, I am with you. That is all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. God loves to use weak people. Church, God loves to use what? Weak people. Everyone has weaknesses. In fact, we all have a bundle of flaws. Might be physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. You may have uncontrollable circumstances that weaken you, such as financial or relational limitations. But the more important issue is what you do with these things. God can still demonstrate his power through your life, no matter your situation. And the truth is, God has never been impressed with strength and self-sufficiency. God is more impressed with someone who's simply willing to let go and allow God into the thing that they're purposing to do in him. You know, in a couple of nights, going back to the conference that I was talking about earlier on, I had no energy physically. But that's when God spoke to me. That's when I felt like God was carrying me. And that's when I got a bigger picture of what God had and the purposes for my life long term. You may have a physical limitation. You may have a handicap. You may have a chronic illness. You may naturally be low in energy or have some kind of disability. And maybe you are low emotionally. You've been hurt, have a hurt in your memory, a personality quirk or hereditary disposition. Or maybe you have an intellectual limitation. You may think about the limitation and think God could never use me, but God is never limited to our limitations. God is never limited. We are like clay jars in which the treasure is stored, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says. The real power comes from God and not from us. God will use you if you allow him to work through our weaknesses. Admit your weaknesses. The sooner you do that, the sooner God's going to use it for his glory. In Matthew 16, 16, it was Peter, when asked by Jesus, "Who do you think I am?" Peter returned, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." If you go to the stone being rolled away, that's the right PowerPoint. Okay, we might have to turn the PowerPoints off because they're not working at all. So just turn them off. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The stone was rolled away. We are part of God's resurrection life. Acts 14, 15, "We are only human beings like you," Paul said to the crowd, because they were wondering how on earth could these things happen. It's because of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And if you want God to use you, you must know who God is and know who you are. And at some point in your life, you must decide whether you want to impress people or influence people. You can impress people from a distance, but you must get close to influence them. And when you do that, they will see your flaws, and that's okay. We've all got flaws, yeah? It's okay. The moment you don't want people to see your flaws, is, well, God's not going to be able to use you. It's okay. We're the family of God. We work with what we've got, and we see God's glory come through. So 1 week, if you're stroppy, it's okay. 1 week, if you're not feeling so good, it's okay. 1 week, if you've had a terrible week and you just can't do it, it's okay. But overall, we're servers in God's house. No matter who you are or what you think you are or are not, God wants you to serve Him. Use what God gave you. Serve anywhere until you know you're fit. So this morning, I want to give out the forms. Can we do that right away, please? Thanks, guys. Let's give out these forms. Let's do it as quickly as we possibly can. Every person, let's fill these forms in this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we have a vision and a purpose, Lord, in serving you and your house. And I pray today, Father, Lord, that this church would be seen, Lord, as passionate for you and passionate for one another, that we would affect this whole community, Lord, this whole southern region of Perth for your glory. People of God said, amen. God bless you. If you're still finishing, pass them to the ushers. They're here. Otherwise, we'll see you in the cafe. Don't forget to invite someone to Easter. Go to Connect Group. Take care, guys.